Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Leopard Carpet with your host, Lady Flava. We were just listening to a piece by my featured guest tonight, who is Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and that piece was called Smooth. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
How you doing, lady?
I'm very good. I am so excited about having you on this show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. You never know what I might ask.
I know that's right. I'm all ready. I'm sitting up here. Cause I know how you could be sometimes.
Well, Stephen, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on this particular show, you know, I know that I had you on my All Media Artists show back, the end of December, I want to say right before New Year's Eve, and, you know, that was an amazing experience for me to get to know you. At that point, you were an artist that was very, very new to me. And, you know, I had talked about the fact that, you know, how smooth your music is, that it was so extremely relaxing that it got to the point that there were times when I would listen to you so that it would help me sleep. And I was honestly thinking about that this morning, too. I really need to get a copy of your new CD just so that I can have it around the house when I need that kind of, you know, my music drug to help just kind of chill me out and relax me. So I think you are an amazing artist. But in the time that, you know, I met you back in December to now, I think that you're an amazing man.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. That means a lot, really, seriously.
Well, you know, the blessing of, you know, who I am and what I do, you know, it's not often that I connect with an artist the way that I've connected with you and some others, but, you know, it's wonderful when you kind of get a sense of who the person is behind the creativity, and then it kind of, you know, kind of helps you understand, you know, the artist, you know, even more, you know, when you get to know them. And so, you know, I thank you, you know, for allowing me, you know, into your world that, you know, that way. So I know that, you know, since we did the show back in December, you have been on the radio quite a bit, my friend, from being interviewed to being a co-host. So what does that feel like for you to have people reaching out and wanting to hear your story from all over the world?
It's a humbling feeling, I'm telling you. I really honestly appreciate it, and I don't really think it's sunk in yet real good, because I do it out of friendship, so I don't really look at it as like part of a business or anything like that. You know, just having the time to come here and talk to you for a while and doing some of the other shows and all that, I look at it as, you know, just friends sitting down talking. And if anybody out there listening can learn something about me, you know, that's fine and good, too. That's just icing on the cake, really. But doing the interview thing, when I was, like, sitting in your chair that time, I mean, you know what, lady, you can have that, you know.
What?
That, I mean... Guys, that's a lot harder than it looks, I'm telling you.
You really think so? I know you've had a few times of being co-host.
Yeah, I did, and that's something I want to put down on my list of priorities to try to do in the future, you know.
Okay, I think that is definitely a subject we need to come back to and discuss. But for those of the listeners, Stephen, I want to just kind of take them a little bit back, you know, to give them a little bit of history about yourself as an artist and how you kind of evolved into this creative soul who you are today. So as many artists, you know, that I have had featured on my variety of shows, you started as a young child. Playing in the church. So maybe you could speak on that briefly, how that all kind of came about?
Well, it kind of really started before that because I grew up in a home where, I mean, from the time I can remember, music was played. And I was exposed at a real young age to all types of music, gospel, R&B, some classical. I even heard some country western here and there, but it kind of stuck with me, and I developed a love for it. Later on, like around the age of 8 or 9 years old, which is, you know, a long, long, long time ago, but I don't want to get into that. I had some new neighbors move in, and one of the guys, he was about my age, you know, we hooked up with each other and all that, and he told me he was learning how to play guitar. And his family was also into music. His mother and father both sang in church. And his father had this, I wish I still had it, because this thing had a tremendous sound. It was an old Fender Rhodes electric piano. And, I mean, this thing, it took both of us to carry it. This thing had to weigh about 300 pounds. But we put it together. We put it together, you know, plugged it in, and, I mean, it had like, the internal speakers and everything and all that.
Okay.
But the thing had a great sound. And I sat down and started messing with that thing while he was playing the guitar and all that. And from then on out, I was hooked. I mean, the first song I learned how to play on that thing was that Three Dog Night Jam, Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
Okay.
That was the first song I learned how to play by ear. And from then on out, his brother was playing the drums, and I picked up the bass guitar. And we actually played a little live gig at a backyard barbecue that my parents were having. And
okay.
we just decided to throw our little stuff together, get out there and jam for the people and all that. And it went over pretty good. And then we got into gospel music because my father was a DC cop, and he spent about 32 years on the DC Police Department before he retired. And
okay.
but he was also a minister, and we got together and found a couple of singers and all, and we put together a it was basically more for the singers. It was a quartet type deal, kind of like the Blind Boys and all that kind of stuff like that. And we just played backup music for them. And
okay.
We started out just playing in our local church. A couple of Sunday afternoons, and we started getting pretty good. So we decided to actually form a group, and my next door neighbor's father, he had a big old white panel van, so we would load up our little equipment and everything on Sundays and go around to different churches and play for afternoon services. And
so at this point, Stephen, how old were you?
Oh, about this time I was probably about 12 or 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
so still pretty young.
Yeah. And we started expanding out a little bit and going to churches in the Maryland and Virginia area, and as far down as we played a service in North Carolina one time. And cause I know I was like, at the time I was like about 14 years old, I think. And
okay.
We drove all the way to North Carolina from D.C., and on the way back, all the drivers were tired, and they asked me, say, can you drive? I said, yeah, I can drive. So you need to drive us back to D.C. I didn't even have a license at the time, but I drove from North Carolina all the way back to D.C. in the dark, you know.
Wow.
But those were the good old days, you know.
Yeah. You know what? And I think that the first time I had you on the show and in conversations, I do not recall, but, you know, I'm old and forgetful. I do not recall you telling me that you were a minister's son.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm a minister's daughter.
Oh, really? Okay.
I am.
Cool.
So we're both PKs.
Yes, we are.
Maybe that's why we connected, Stephen.
Mm-hmm. I knew there was kindred spirit in there somewhere.
Exactly. So you were self-taught, so you have been playing by ear, right?
Yes. Originally, I started playing by ear. Then later on, after I started getting more serious about the music, mm-hmm. I started learning how to read a little bit and all
okay.
that. I'm still kind of learning.
Okay.
I can sit down and read a piece, and I can tell what it wants me to do. But as mm-hmm. far as, like, sitting down and somebody giving me a sheet of music and say, okay, play it right now, I say, mm-hmm. you know, can I kind of work on it a little bit first, you know, like that.
Right. Okay, got you. Well, mm-hmm. I think that you obviously have an amazing ear, you know, because anybody that knows you and has to have the opportunity to hear your flavor, you know, they know that what you create is absolutely, you know, beautiful. You know, I mean, there's so many words, and I'm going to, I promise myself this year that I'm going to learn, you know, and expand my vocabulary, because I find myself saying the same things over and over. But, you know, your music is beautiful, and it is very, very soothing. So why don't I jump into another track, Stephen, and I'm going to play, let's see, Branches of the Same Tree.
Okay.
All right, we were just listening to Branches Off the Same Tree by my featured guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Stephen Jerome Ferguson. So you saw some of the feedback that you were getting in the chat room, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And guys, I really appreciate it. I really do.
But, you know, I mean, it's, I know that, you know, like with John D. Green Sr., you know, he's one of your brothers from over at the All Media Artists, and Josh Man Rock out of the Pacific Northwest has become a very, very big fan of yours. You know, but Stephen, you're deserving. You know, you have a sound, you know, that's grabbing a variety of people, you know. And, you know, I'm just so excited, you know, to be able to share more of you on this particular show. And I just want to go, you know, deeper into a conversation with you around, you know, being an artist and all. But, you know, there are quite a few people that are listening to the show live. So I don't know. I have to say something. Stephen, I was so excited when I saw you put an event out for the show. You were the first artist who has actually put an event out for one of my shows. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, yes. So I'm like, yay, he really won more brownie points with me. You had plenty of brownie points, but you won more when I saw that. And I, you know what, I appreciate that. I know it was all about you, but I have to tell you, I appreciate you doing it.
It actually wasn't, because you've been giving myself and a lot of the artists over there at All Media, you've been giving us a lot of support and everything. And it's only right for us to kind of return the favor every once in a while, you know. So I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciated you even having me on here, because it means a lot to me, Lady Flavor. It really does. Okay?
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Thank you. I laugh about it in my own head, and I know I've kind of teased you about it. But, you know, it's like ever since, you know, you were on the show back in December, it's like you kind of blossomed on the radio. It's like now you're just like, you know, you're full of conversation. You call into my different shows. You participate in the Artist Roundtable and, you know, Flava Coffee House or whatever shows that you're able to call into around your interesting schedule. And it's like, you know, we will get back to the co-hosting thing in a minute. But I do want to address, I think, a very important stage in your life and in your career as a musician that kind of just kind of helps, you know, bring your story around to where we can address who you are now. And you were a part of a band, developing and formed a band while you were serving in the Army over in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Myself, Mr. Paul Ferguson, and Mike Burrell, we co-founded, it was an R&B/jazz group called FFB. And it kind of came about, we were all like brand new in the military. I mean, we were just all out of basic training. And we all had the same job titles and all that. And we were all chosen to start a new unit in Germany. Usually, like, if somebody comes out of basic training going into the military, you know, they get orders to go over to Germany. They go to a place where there's people already there, and, you know, it's people to acclimatize you to, you know, what's going on, because it is a different atmosphere. But we didn't have that luxury. We all kind of got shipped over all at the same time. Nobody knew anything about Europe or what we were supposed to do or how we were supposed to do it. So we were just sitting around the barracks one day, and I mentioned that I played bass guitar, and Paul said, oh, you do? I play guitar. And Mike said, oh, yeah, I play drums. And we started out just going and jamming at the rec center in the evenings just to have something to do.
Okay.
And, yeah, and one thing led to another. It was some other guys in the unit that had some excellent voices. We had a lead singer. The guy sounded exactly like Lou Rawls. I mean, mm-hmm. he was the guy out of Baltimore. And we got together, and we did some free concerts at the rec center on the weekends a couple of times just to get a GI, someplace to go other than the clubs and everything. And a gentleman from the U.S. Army Club Systems came to one of our concerts. And after the concert, he approached us and asked us if we would be interested in signing doing a contract with the Club Systems to play in all the NCO and officer clubs around Germany at all the different clubs.
Wow.
So we said, okay, we can handle that. You know, and we ended up doing pretty good. I mean, we were whenever we weren't, you know, out doing our military thing and all that, we played just about every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night in some club somewhere.
Okay.
And we had we had the complete package. We had our own DJ and everything with us that would play during our breaks and all that. And we had a ball. We got a chance to play in a lot of German establishments there. And,
okay.
We just met some wonderful people, had a wonderful time, and it really helped us to we got a chance to get to know the German people. We played in Germany. We played in Paris a couple of times. Where else did we play? It was somewhere in the UK. It was some little small town. I can't remember the name of it now. But we played at Oktoberfest. I mean, we had a blast. Mm-hmm. And it was just a wonderful experience. It really was.
So how did that feel, you know, just kind of coming together, realizing that everybody had a talent, a passion when it came to music, and then jamming, you know, at the rec center to then, you know, forming this band and being able to entertain, you know, many?
It was a, it seemed like a natural progression, you know. Like you say, we started out just jamming together and ended up playing in front of, you know, hundreds of people at a time and all. And we did mostly cover music, but we did have some original pieces that we put out there, and people dug it. We also got a chance to be interviewed on AFN, that's the Armed Forces Network Radio, one time.
Oh, okay.
And they played a couple of our original pieces and that type of stuff like that. So it felt good at the time, but we kind of ran into a little problem later on when a lot of the members of the group kind of started believing their own press a little bit, you know. It was kind of downhill from there. 'Cause originally when we got together, you know, we couldn't wait to get off work to get to practice. We just couldn't wait. We would eat dinner, you know, you'd be sitting down playing and practicing a song and, you know, trying to eat at the same time. It was that kind of stuff like that. But after we got to the point where everybody in the world was telling us how great we were, then all of a sudden a practice would be scheduled, one or two people wouldn't show up, and then you call them and say, oh, I really don't need to come to practice today. And that's where it kind of started, you know, going downhill a little bit. But
Did you guys stay together while, you know, as a band through even the struggles in the end, while you were, the whole time you were in Germany, or did it disband while you were still over there?
We stayed together the whole time we were there, and like I said, we all had the same job titles, so when it was time for us, like I said, we all pretty much came in at the same time, so we all came up for rotation back to the States at the same time. And one of our lead singers, a female, she actually worked in personnel. So our company commander wrote us a letter of recommendation requesting that we all be stationed in the same place when we rotated back to the States, and it got approved.
Okay. Okay.
And once we got back to the States, that's when things kind of started really kind of falling apart a little bit.
Now, that wasn't at Fort Lewis, was it?
No. Mm-mm. This was at...
okay.
This is actually at Fort Riley, not about a couple of hours down the road from here right now. But.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, so as you transitioned back, you know, to the States, you obviously in some way, shape, or form kind of kept it going, at least for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. I kind of took a break from music for a few years.
Okay.
And just to give you a little bit of idea about how my mind works and how music works, I'm constantly listening to new music, and somewhere in the 80% of my brain that supposedly we don't use, part of that 80% is always writing music. I mean, always. Lady, I've got tons and tons of songs in my head, okay? And some of them are complete, some of them are not. You know, but
okay.
I mean, it's all kind of music stuck up in there.
Yeah.
And I took a break for a while, and I needed that time to get my head straight, because I always knew I wanted to get back in it, but I was constantly thinking about how I could avoid the pitfalls of what I had just went through with this group.
Okay.
And just about around in the, probably about the mid-80s and all that, technology started to catch up with what I wanted to do. And because I'd always had I've always had a dream of being able to go in the studio and do my own music that I wanted to do, that I didn't have to ask anybody else, well, do you like this song? Do you like that song? Do you want to play this? Do you want to play that? I wanted to come up with my own stuff. And at the time, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to lay a bass track, I'm going to have to lay a drum track, then I'm going to have to do this track, and I'm going to have to do that track. And technology started catching up to it, where it made it a little bit easier to do those kind of things. There's a lot of artists out there now, a lot of mainstream artists out there now, that have done complete projects where they played every single instrument on every song. Prince comes to mind. He's done a lot of different albums where he has played every single instrument in his music.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is out there where we can do it now. And now it's like, oh, man, it's amazing. Man. I mean, that piece you just played, I don't know how to play a saxophone, okay, so I'm not good at that at all. But I had a friend of mine in D.C., Franklin Thomas. He was he's a sax player, and got with him and told him what I wanted to do and what was going on, and I sent him the tracks, and he laid down the saxophone part for me, and then I took it and stuck it in the piece, and the rest was history, you know?
Amazing.
Collaboration now is with the technology and the internet and all that. I mean, it's just a matter of emailing an MP3 to somebody, you know?
Right.
And
that's
it.
Something I do want to touch on, but Stephen, I know that you're not aware of this, but we've got about seven or eight people that are just hanging out on the phone, but two of them actually have their hand raised. So let me bring them in because they've been patiently waiting. All right, John D. Green, Sr., you are on the leopard carpet with Lady Flava and Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Stephen!
What's up, John?
What's going on,
man?
Hey, I am well, but now that I got you in front of the world, you know me. So I'm going to have to get
you
with questions.
I know you are.
You took a break, and, you know, as we all take a break.
Yeah.
What is it? What are you working on? I know you were formulating something exceptional, something huge. Give it a little tell. Come on, Steven. Give a little tell, man.
You know, I do have something in the works right now. I was working on my next CD, and originally I was looking at putting anywhere from maybe 7 to 9 songs on it, maybe. And then a funny thing happened to me, John.
Hmm.
You know how sometimes, you know, you write stuff and then you take it and then you save it on a disc somewhere or something like that. And for some reason you just forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking through my, well, it was not really a junk drawer. I got these file cabinets here that I keep all kind of stuff in, like, you know, backup disc and cords and all kind of junk in these things, man.
Right.
But I found this disc that of music that I wrote about probably about 8 months ago that I never really finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in and I listened to it and I said, "Whoa, wait a minute, what was I?"
Yeah.
Why did I start working on this? You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm kind of working on that right now. Getting those right. I've got this one piece that's on there that I really don't know how big it's going to go over, man. But, and it's a little bit different from the stuff that I've been doing.
Right.
And I know, Lady, you and I have talked about this, that, you know,
right,
that sometimes you got to free the beast.
Right.
You know, and the beast is definitely going to get freed on this thing. I mean,
How different, Stephen? Like different genre altogether, different style of play, different chord progression? How different from what you normally do?
Yeah, all those and a little bit more. you just keep going, and it'll be yeah to all of it.
Okay.
You know, my love is that big orchestrated sound, like the stuff they used to do in the Cotton Club back in the day and that kind of stuff like that, the big orchestrations.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece is, just to give you an idea, it is 5 separate bass lines going on in this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that is huge.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, It's my gift.
Okay.
It's a long time ago, I saw this movie. I believe it was called Anthony and Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm.
With Elizabeth Taylor, God rest her soul, and Richard Burton. And Elizabeth Taylor was playing the part of Cleopatra. And they had this scene in the movie where Caesar had invited Cleopatra to visit Rome from Egypt. And, you know, she was the queen of Egypt. You know, Egypt was a power in the world. Rome was a power in the world at the same time, supposedly. And she made her entrance into Rome. And it was this big, long progression of her stuff. I mean, she had the dancers, she had all the silks and the gold and the jewelry and the people carrying all this stuff in big crates and all this other kind of stuff. And then they showed little scenes of people in the crowd, and they were kind of saying that, you know, who does she think she is? Don't she know she's coming to Rome? You know, Rome is it right now. You know, who does she think she is coming in here with all this stuff? And at the end of this big, long progression, she's sitting on this big pyramid, her and her daughter. And Caesar is standing at the end of the street. They come up to the thing, the pyramid stops, and her and her daughter walk down the steps of the pyramid, and Caesar is kind of standing up on this little platform deal where you got to walk up some steps to it. And she gets halfway up the steps, her and her daughter, and she stops, and her and her daughter both bow their heads. And they don't say a word. They just show that, look, we know who you are. We know you the man. You know, I just wanted to show you all the things that I was able to get. This song is the song that I would like to play when it's my time to go meet my father. Because I want to show him everything that I know that he has done for me. And just give it to him. Say, here are the things that I know that you have blessed me with.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm
going to have to keep that memory, that one right there with me, Stephen. I'm feeling that. That's very powerful.
That's a great story, huh? Yes,
very powerful. I just wanted to call, man, and say, hey, congratulations. I'm hearing you doing your thing. You're shaking the bush. Keep up the good work. I'll be listening as usual. And thank you for that story. That was an exceptional story, Stephen. Very powerful. Actually, very inspirational. Let me get busy now.
I hear you, bro. You go ahead and do your thing. I know what you got going on.
Yeah, but I just
like
to call in to show you some love, man.
I appreciate it,
brother. All right,
it,
thank
brother.
You so much, John.
Anytime, man.
No doubt, bro, no doubt. Thank you, Flay.
All right, John, thank you.
All right.
Well, Stephen, I'm going to bring in another caller. They have been patiently waiting. And so let me bring them in. So caller from the 702 area code, you are on the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava and Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hi, Lady Flava. Hey, Steve, it's Cynthia. It's my birthday.
Cynthia. Happy birthday. Wait a minute. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cynthia. Happy birthday to you.
All right,
happy
now that made
birthday.
My day. Thank you so much. Send me love out here with waist belt as well.
Yeah, so what do you think of this man and his talents?
I think he's great. I have all his CDs.
Yeah.
And I'm spreading the word here in Vegas for him.
Okay.
I know. Be careful about Vegas now.
Yeah, I know.
So Cynthia, you know, the first time I had Stephen on one of my shows back in December, I was hoping I didn't disrespect him by saying, you know, his music helped put me to sleep. But, you know, what it was really trying to say is that his music was so soothing, it was so chilled, that it just, you know, it's kind of that music you can put on if you had a kind of a rough day or you even had a headache and you just want something that just kind of soothes your soul and takes you outside of that zone. So do you think I'm kind of right on a little bit with that?
Yes, you are, and I told him the same thing because my CD player that's on my headboard, that's what I have on my player right now, and that's what I listen to at night to go to sleep.
Okay. Okay. So I'm glad I'm not the only one.
So my music is putting
you
out of sleep, but it's keeping me awake.
Well, it's putting me to sleep in a good way, though.
Yeah, but it keeps me awake at night. You know how many times I spend 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning working on this stuff and can't go to sleep?
know, but look what you're doing for us, though.
Right.
Okay.
It's a blessing. All right.
Okay.
You're better than a sleeping pill. I keep trying to tell you that.
I love it, Cynthia. I love it.
Hey, Cynthia.
So what are you doing on your birthday out there in Vegas?
That's what I was going to ask.
Well, right now I'm waiting to get off of work. And then once I get off work, I'm going to have me a few drinks to celebrate.
Okay.
All right.
Man. Okay. All right. Well, cheers to you, Mama, and happy birthday. And thank you so much for calling into the show and being patient, you know,
for me
to pick up your line.
I thank you.
Happy 28th birthday, Cynthia.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
All right. We've got another caller on the line, Stephen. The hands are going up, so let me bring him in. So caller from the 414 area code, you are on the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava and Stephen Jerome Ferguson. 414? Hello?
They got stage fright.
Uh-oh. Well, 414, I'm going to keep your line open in case there's a chance that you do want to chime in. Just holler and say, hey, I'm here. Let me see, who's the next number that has their hand up? Okay. Caller from the 512 area code, you are on the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava and Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Well, hello, Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hello.
This is Gracie.
Hey, Gracie, how you doing?
Rich man from Austin.
How you doing?
I'm a new fan.
Thank
yeah,
you
it
very
was
much.
It was a Facebook thing, you know, one of those
yeah.
Facebook things.
Mm.
Yeah. That was quite
so
a story.
Gracie, that was a great story, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
So
and
what
I,
do you think?
I think that one's going to stay with me now.
You know what? I have to agree with you, Gracie. I think that's one of those, you know, as he was, like, leading up to it, I'm like, okay, he's a storyteller, you know. So I was, like, leading up to it, and then it was, like, boom, right there. I agree. That's a story to remember. And that also kind of gives more of a sense as to who this man is and who this artist is,
right.
You know?
Right.
So,
well, but
so
you
what
know,
are your
you're
thoughts around
tell
his
a
music?
Story. With me, well, he tells a story with his music, because
yes, he does.
I really don't listen to anybody that doesn't talk to me. You know,
okay.
Musically, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you don't talk to me, then you know you're not saying anything.
Wasn't that
profound?
I agree. That was very profound.
Wow, that was so profound. Oh, my God. No.
That was deep.
but I feel you on that. I think that any music, mm-hmm. whether there are actual words to it or not, you need to be able to hit
right.
that emotion in a person. And if you can hit that emotion to where they feel you and feel what it is that you've created, you know, then you've got a fan. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. I that's a great way of describing it, Gracie.
Stephen, you've probably been playing music all your life, I would guess.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. That's the thing, you know. I can kind of mm-hmm. recognize that in another person. And the thing about, I heard say, now, I got, boy, do I have a story for you. I heard
okay.
somebody say one time that Thomas Kincaid, you know, the painter of light,
mm-hmm.
they often looked at his pictures, and he said that the most common comment that he always got was people would look at him and say, I want to live there. You know, they'd look at his pictures and say, I want
right.
to live there.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
And see, that's how I feel about music. That's how I feel about my music as well. Your music is someplace where people would want to go, you know, you'd go live there.
Right.
Or at least, you know, go stay for the weekend or something.
That
but if it's
is.
Just, you know, if it's just stuff that's, you know, clogging the airwaves and, you know, repeats of you know, Lady Gaga-ism or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I
right.
got you.
I mean, that's,
you. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Nobody impresses me. Seriously.
Okay.
I am real hard to impress when it comes to music. And you did. So that's something
wow.
there.
Thank
that
you.
That is something.
I heard
Thank
about six
sure.
notes, and I said, yep, there it is. I'm going to listen to this. You know.
Okay. So
you need to come on down to Austin and play some music, man.
You know
right.
what? It's in the plan.
Oh, is it in the plan?
It's in the plan because Texas, for some reason, I mean, you guys down in Texas just love me. So I got to come on down and,
yeah,
and turn the love.
Oh, he's got a little fan club here now.
I know.
Oh,
man.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's got a fan club.
That's wonderful.
All right.
So, Gracie, what type of artist are you?
Oh, Lord. I need to come up with something because, you know, people ask me that, and it's so hard.
Okay.
I'm not hardcore jazz,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really, you know, old school Motown just appeals to me tremendously.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that. I mean, you know, Smokey Robinson is like, you know, all that, and you know, my Lord.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, ma'am.
That's where I'm at as a vocalist. I would, you know, and as a musician, I would go more towards the rhythm and blues type sound. But
mm-hmm.
I love Nancy Wilson, and I love, you know, it's hard to say. Not country.
Okay. Right. Not country.
Not Texas music.
No country down there in Austin,
no,
Texas.
No, I don't think so. Not for me.
Well, you know,
I
think
can't do it.
I think it's a great compliment when somebody who is also, you know, in a sense, a peer, you know, in regards to musical talents or any type of artistry, you know,
mm-hmm.
can step up and, you know, and be able to recognize and respect and appreciate the talents of another artist. And so I think that speaks
right.
very big of you, you know, Gracie, to, you know, to do that for Stephen.
Hey, you know, we're family.
Yes,
there
we
you
are.
Go.
What
yes,
can you say?
Are.
You know, you're
yes,
family.
You
family.
Each other. Yeah.
See, and family. Now as far as being a peer, of course, you know, I guess that'll mm-hmm. be up to you, Stephen, to decide. You know, I don't know if you've heard. You may not have heard me. I really don't know if you have or not.
I have.
But
mm-hmm.
you know, that's up to you. You know, you can decide whether I'm one of your peers or not.
And yes,
it's
you
it's
are.
All good.
In fact, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't.
That's sweet. Well,
this is really
cool.
I'm so glad you're on here, and that everybody's get. You know, everybody's gonna listen, and you're gonna get new people listening to you. And
definitely.
Yeah, you need to come play the Elephant Room in Austin because that's the big jazz place, you know.
Well,
and that's where you do it. So, you know, you
take the notes, right, Stephen?
I'll email her my press kit right after this is over with.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to him. That's, you know.
Okay.
The dude, his name is Mordecai, the one who runs the joint. He plays trombone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to play that room. It's like Birdland. You have to go downstairs. It's
oh,
great.
Yes.
You'll love it. You will love it.
Well, you know, all I can say is no. You know.
Right.
Oh, they ain't going to say no.
No.
We've got some influence around these parts here. We'll talk to them.
All right. I'll be dropping your name, right? So.
Oh, absolutely. And me, my name and Judith Miller. Now, see, if you drop Judith
oh, yeah.
Miller's name, they'll just say, oh, God, let him in. They won't even argue with you. You know, she's wonderful. She's wonderful.
She is some great people. She is some great people. Doing some great music too. You know, I heard one of your pieces today actually.
What'd you hear?
Oh man, I knew you were gonna ask me
oh,
that.
Oh God.
I forgot the name of it. It was the first one on your playlist.
Oh, on Reverb Nation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's God. I do have music on there. I forgot.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, okay, cool. That'll work.
And, lady, she's got an excellent sound. This is a lady you might want to think about doing an interview with, because she's an excellent artist.
Listen, Addie. Listen how good the line is.
I think you need to contact me at radio@flavornews.com because, you know, if Stephen says so, trust me, after the show, I'm going to go hunt you down, darling.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, I've got some covers on there, you know, a few covers and everything. I don't know if there's anything original or not. I really don't remember. I'm going to have to go look.
So we're going to go check you out.
But I do, you know, I'm kind of a Billie Holiday fan, so you're going to see that.
Okay.
You know, but this has been fun, guys.
Yeah.
You want to sing a little something right now?
Oh my Lord! Like such as
whatever you would like, Mama.
I'm on the spot. Oh my gosh! Well, let's see. What will I sing? Alas, my love has come along. How about that?
Go, girl.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm. I am today the rover. And life is like a song. Sound good?
Beautiful. Amazing.
Cool.
Totally.
I'm going to go hunt
cool.
you down. Yeah, I'd love to have you come on the leopard carpet with me.
Oh, I want everybody to hunt me down.
Okay. Well, I'm hunting you down from Seattle, Washington.
Y'all are so cute. That's just awesome. I hope everybody is listening, and I hope everybody goes and checks you out because they need to. You're wonderful.
I agree, Grace.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You are welcome.
All right,
and
I'm going
to
be
email. I want your schedule. Okay. I think you can find me.
Okay.
I guess I can give you my email address.
Okay, what is
Believe
that?
Me, you won't forget it.
Okay.
It's DEJAGRACE. Like Deja Grace.
Oh, okay.
@yahoo.com.
@yahoo. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. All right, so I'm going to go hunt you down and check you out.
Cool. Stephen, you're amazing.
Like
I'm so glad you're on here.
I'm so glad you came on and talked to me, Gracie. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I really do.
Oh, we shall talk again.
Oh, yes, we will.
We shall
talk
again.
All right, Miss Gracie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
All right, good night now. Now, we got two more callers, Stephen. So let me bring them in because they've been patiently waiting also. So caller from the 410 area code, you are on the leopard carpet with Lady Flavin and Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
You know who this is?
Shirley.
Hey, babe.
What's up? How you doing?
Nothing. Just chilling right here in Baltimore, Maryland.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in, say hi, say congratulations again on all your great work. And everything. And the story, I love the story. The story was great.
Oh, thank you.
I love the music, everything about it. I mean, the music is real. The music is very real. It hits the soul, and it actually takes you to another place. And it's great. I love it. Hi, lady.
Hey. So, I'm sorry, you said your name is Shirley?
Cheryl Lee. Shirlee.
Oh, Charlene. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for calling into the show. So, I mean, I was going to ask you, what do you think of Stephen's music? But you kind of, you know, described it there a bit. And how long have you been a fan of Stephen's?
About two to three years now.
Yeah,
wow.
Easy.
Okay.
Yeah, she's actually part of the team, the promotion team.
Okay. Wonderful. You know, and you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned that, Stephen, because, Shirlene, you know, I think that it's really important for us as fans of the artist to help them promote, because, you know, it's one thing when the artist, you know, talks about themselves and say, hey, come check out my Reverb Nation or come check out my All Media Artist page or whatever. But I think it speaks volumes when somebody like yourself or somebody like myself, you know, that says, you know what, I really, really like this artist. You need to go check him out. And I think that just speaks even more. So I love the fact, you know, of hearing that, you know, you help promote him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an event planner, and I take his work. Like, I've been, I promote it, and I introduce it to people. Like, I do weddings, parties, anniversaries, banquets, and stuff. So I kind of like if they want something nice and smooth played, I use his work. Because his work brings people in, and then people ask for it. And I just tell them where to go to get it, and they just go get it.
Right.
And it helps me out, it helps him out. I mean, it's all about helping everybody out.
There you go.
And that's why I love what I do. You know?
Right.
I mean,
That's a great story, Stephen, you know, to know that there is somebody out there that's actually having your music played. And then from there, people are actually requesting it. That is a great story.
It is. You'd be surprised to know who's listening to his music and don't even know him. And they're like, you know, well, who exactly is this person? I've never heard him before, but he's like almost as good as some of the artists that's out there that's a household name. And he's almost just as good as they are. Well, actually, I would say he is good. He's just as good as they are, and even better.
I agree.
You know, because a lot of the music that you hear nowadays is like a whole bunch of, you know, phoniness in it, and it's not real, and you can't feel it. You know, I like music that I can feel the person who's actually bringing forth the music. You can tell if they really put themselves in it or if they got the music from somebody else and then threw it together. You can always tell the difference in it. And that's what I love about it, and that's what I love about him.
So, you know, Stephen, do you see the consistency of what people are saying about your music? They feel it, you know?
Yeah.
It's something that they're absorbing, they're taking in, they feel it. And I think that's the beauty of what it is that you're creating, that, you know, you become a part of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I'm sitting here like, man, this has turned into a way better time with you, Stephen, that I anticipated, and I knew I was going to have a great time with you.
I mean,
well, you know,
that's great.
You know, that was my intent the whole time, because, like I said, when I decided to get back into it, I told myself I didn't want to make, I didn't want basically cookie cutter music. I didn't want my music to sound like anybody else's. And I wanted my music to, like, have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, I wanted it to kind of tell a little story in between and all that. So that's what I try to do with my pieces.
It does.
And,
well, obviously you are doing the job.
I guess I am. And,
yeah. You know, I think that's wonderful, you know. I think there's nothing better, you know, than to hear how a person's art affects somebody else. And, I mean, look at it. You've got people calling in from all over the United States, you know. But the commonality is they're all, you know, they all have different stories, maybe even different descriptions of what, you know, your music sounds like and feels for them, but the same thing is consistent, that it, you know, you touch the emotions, you get in there, they feel it, you know, and man, that's an amazing compliment, my friend.
Hey, that's better than winning the Grammys. and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, guys. That was my intent from day one, was to have somebody listen to it and actually feel something from it. So my job here is done.
No, it's not done. You got more to create,
it's not
you
done.
Know.
Oh, yes, I do. I got to get this stuff out of my head.
You know, I was when I was talking to John earlier today, he was saying the same thing. Like, he was, like, going through CDs after CDs, just, like, downloading things that he was creating. And I guess I never really thought about that, you know, when it came to, you know, you guys as artists in that way that are, creative and music, you know, musicians and composers and all of that, that you have all this stuff in your head or just at the tips of your fingers, you know, that mm-hmm. wants to come out and be creative. And that's interesting for me to, you know, really sit and listen to that and understand it.
I'm telling you, I've told people this before. If I hadn't developed this bad habit of liking to eat regularly, so I got to kind of hold down a full-time job on top of this, if I could just do music 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'd probably be putting out a CD every month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so many combinations of notes and chords and melodies out there that, I mean, you can make music for a long, 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 long time.
Mm.
So, and, you know, I, like I said, I still got a lot in me. I got a bunch of it I haven't even touched yet.
Mm.
I'll eventually get to it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. You know what? We've got another caller that's been patiently waiting, so let me bring them in also. And, Shirlene, you are definitely welcome to stay on the line. So, caller from the blocked number, you are on the leopard carpet with Lady Flava and Stephen Jerome Ferguson and Miss Shirlene. Caller from the 111. Okay. You know what? I'm going to leave your line open just in case you want to chime in. I hope that you can hear us, but your line is open. Call it from the 111, or I call it a blocked number, anonymous caller. So feel free to chime in at any point. You know, I am going to jump into one of your tracks, Stephen, because, you know, mm-hmm. I do want to get in and be able to share some of your flavor with the listeners today, just for them to get a sense of who you are and, you know, your creations and, you know, what they can experience and expect out of you. So I'm going to play Daybreak, and this is from your new CD, which is called We Are One.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Thank you.
All right, that beautiful piece is called Daybreak by my featured guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Mr. Stephen Jerome Ferguson. So this has been amazing tonight, Stephen. You know what? And before I go any further with you, there is another caller on the line that wants to say something, so let me bring them in.
Sure.
All right, caller from the 716 area code, you are on the Leopard Carpet with Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hi, this is Eva Maria.
Hey, Eva.
Can you hear me?
How you doing? Yes, I can. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Glad
That's
you made
great. It. Great. I'm enjoying the show. It is tremendously great show.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, he's
That's
easy to have on the show.
He's really nice. I like the way she hosts the show. It's really nice. And, Stephen,
oh,
you know I always
you.
Enjoyed your music.
Yes, you have, I know. And, you know, me and you, we still got to do that little thing together now. I ain't letting
oh,
you
yeah,
off the hook.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So
you
now
know,
how
I've been on here like, for the longest, and then I realized, oh, my goodness, I didn't have my I had my number blocked. And when she said that someone not had their number blocked, I said, oh, my goodness, I bet that's me.
Oh, okay. You were the anonymous caller. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't catch
yeah, I think I was the one. When you said that,
okay.
I said, let me hurry up and hang up and then go and see if I put it in the number right. And
okay.
I said, no, that was me. That was me.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't catch what your name was.
It's Eva Maria.
Oh, Eva Maria.
I'm a writer
okay.
from Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what? How would you describe Stephen's music, Eva Maria?
Oh my goodness, it's just amazing. It's soothing, and I understood what you said about it. It just makes you feel so mellow that you can just like fall asleep to it. You can
right.
just like have dinner to it. You can just
yeah.
anything that's just relaxing. You can just do that to it.
There you go.
It's relaxing.
Exactly. See, Stephen, you know, you created some of that good medicine, you know? Like,
Absolutely.
You don't need to go to the drugstore. You created that medicine that just, you know, take all your worries and stress away.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When I first heard Stephen Ferguson, I said, oh, my goodness, who is this talent right here? I said, oh,
uh-huh.
my goodness, I just got to get into this music here.
Afterglow,
oh my goodness, I was
right.
so into that one.
So tell me this, Eva Maria, you're a writer, you said?
Yes, I am.
So when you are writing, do you ever like listen to either Stephen's music or jazz or do you just need a quiet space when you do your writing?
Oh, yeah, I need a quiet space because, you know, I do my own music. And,
okay.
you know, I just come up with my own music. I make up everything that I do. I'm, you know, I do my own singing and everything.
Oh,
Not
okay.
by choice. So it's like kind of life kind of pushed me in that direction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're also a creative soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
definitely. We're trying to get something to put together here, too, because she's an excellent vocalist. She really is.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're very welcome.
So do you want to give us a taste, Eva Maria?
Let's see. What can I do? I can't think of anything right now.
you didn't know you'd call into the show and I'd put you on the spot, huh?
yeah.
Oh, she's good for that, Eva.
I am. You
yes,
know,
you
when
are.
Somebody says, when somebody says, you know, they're a singer, I'm like, okay, sing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, you know, Stephen, you'll have to definitely direct me in Miss Eva Maria's direction so I can check her out also.
I sure will.
So now, where are you calling from?
I'm calling out of Buffalo, New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yeah.
See, you just got fans all over the place, Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
we're going from the West Coast to the East Coast, and then a little bit in between.
There we go.
That's exciting. You know what?
He is amazing talent, amazing. And the
sound
that he has in his music is so different. You know, it's like you hear little tweaks and little different sounds, like, oh, wow, you know, it's ear-catching. I listen to stuff like that, and I like that type of stuff.
Well, he says that he's working on this new project, Eva Maria, and he says it's going to be kind of different. You know, he's going to kind of throw us. He says it's going to throw us for a loop. I'm not really sure when this project's going
to
come out, but exactly, I am too.
So,
Stephen, when do you plan on this project going to be done?
Well, the whole CD probably won't be done until probably late fall.
Okay.
But the first single, I'm going to try to get it done by about the middle of April or so, because it's just about finished, but just got to do a little tweaking here and there on it. And I'll give you guys a taste of it probably around middle to late April.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm ready. I love sharing your music anyhow.
I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Hey, Eva, thanks for calling in. Dear God, I really appreciate it.
Right. Thank you so much, Eva Maria, for calling in.
You're quite welcome, and I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I need
you're
to have
welcome.
You on my show
thank
all the
you.
Time, Stephen. They're saying wonderful things about you, but, you know, they're throwing in a few nice words about me, too. So, Stephen, you know, can you come back next week? You're like, okay, Flava, be quiet now.
Okay.
So,
next week. Don't feel bad now.
So, I want to bring this up, and I just kind of, you don't have to elaborate on it or anything, but,
okay.
You know, you were kind of practicing, you know, being co-host here on a radio show, and I thought you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, that means a lot, seriously, but you know what? I was just imitating you anyway.
Oh, you were silly.
I'm serious. I mean, you know, I just said, okay, what would Lady Flava say right now? And that's what I said. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because I know absolutely nothing about being a radio show host, a host of anything.
I don't
either. Yes, you do. Oh, please.
I do. I think that you did a good job. And when I listened to the last show, because you ran into some obstacles on that last one.
Sure did,
yeah.
But
I think the blessing out of it is you went with the flow. And the guest that you had on, he was a character within himself.
Yes,
you know?
He was. Yes,
he was funny. He was entertaining. He so wanted that song played. So it was like that was a blessing that the miraculously the song appeared. You know, but you know, you went with the flow. You went with the little obstacles you were up against, and that's the interesting thing. You know, in being a radio show host, you just never know what might happen. You know,
especially
the system could go down.
Yeah. When it's live, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. So
working without a net. But like I said, he was a very good interview. That was David Kelly. And, in fact, he just signed up to be, just come over, just signed up over on All Media Artists. And, I'd probably need to hook you two guys up because he's a real good interview.
But he was an amazing talent. I was glad that that particular song was found because, it was amazing. Look, my virus thing is popping up on my computer. But see, going with the flow, huh? Go with the flow. But So I was feeling a hesitation on whether you liked being a co-host or not.
Whether I liked it or not,
it
was okay. It was a good experience because it's always nice to know what the other side of the fence is like, you know.
Mhm.
But I don't know if I could do it on a weekly basis. You know, I would have to have the right guest, I guess. Because if you notice, it was an hour-long show that I did with him, and I think I only asked him like 3 questions.
Well, so, you know, that's because you had the other 2 hosts in there with
right.
you on top of, you know, he was a character within himself. So it wasn't like you had him all to yourself. I'm sure that if you had him all to yourself, he would have came up with some absolutely amazing questions because, you know.
Oh, he's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah, he was. You know, so, you know, I was kind of sad because I was like, you know, maybe I should ask Stephen to co-host some shows with me. And then somebody else, you know, jumped on board. I was like, wow, they got him before I did.
I would be more than happy to co-host a show with you, Lady Flavor.
With
I really
you?
Would.
Uh-oh,
yes, I
uh-oh.
Would.
You know what?
Yes,
I'm gonna hold you to that. We'll have to talk about
know, I, you know what? That's one thing you don't have to worry about with me, is that you don't have to read between the lines of what you don't have to say. I wonder what he really meant about that. if I say it, I mean it. If
right.
I tell you a chicken can drive a pickup truck, just give it the keys, okay?
Yeah. Okay. So Stephen, when I call you, I'm like, okay, you know, you need to come do this show with me. But I think that I'm gonna do that. But you know what? Eva Maria, or was it Shirlene, brought up the fact that they liked Afterglow. Which one of you ladies brought up that? Oh, maybe one dropped off the line. But was it you that brought up that you liked Afterglow?
Yes, Eva Maria.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I love it.
Okay, so I'm going to play Afterglow by Stephen Jerome Ferguson for Eva Maria.
Great, thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. All right, we were listening to Afterglow by my featured guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and I played this just for Miss Eva Maria. So I'm glad you brought that up, girl, because I love that piece also.
Oh, it's definitely one of those tunes that just take your spirit off into flight into someplace joyful.
There you go. I have
yes,
to agree.
Definitely.
You know what?
Definitely.
We've got another we've got another caller on the line, Stephen. You are a popular guest tonight. So, Josh Man Rock, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm very well. Lady Flavor, it's always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure to have you call, and I know you've become a very, very big fan of Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
My man, Stephen, he is the man. I mean, I tell you, I mean, I like all your music, and there's so much variety, you know. I mean, not all of them, you know, they don't all sound the same. I really like it. But I had a couple questions for Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, go right ahead.
So,
what's up, Josh?
As some of you, you know, may have known, I work in the music industry, but talking as a fan, I would like to know personally that, like, you were talking about the thing that keeps you up at 3 and 5 o'clock at night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As a fan, can you communicate, you know, what that's like, you know, what it's like living with that? Because it's not something that you can, it's not something you can turn off.
No,
as
it's
an
not.
Artist.
No, it's not. And I'm telling you, I think, Josh, I think my instruments are haunted. Okay, I really honestly think so. I think they have a spirit of their own. Because I'm telling you, sometimes I'll be laying in the bed, and I can almost hear my bass saying, Steve, hey, Steve, come here, man. You know you want to play me now. You know you got the studio here. And it's like that. It's like, it'll something will just cut on all of a sudden, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. I have worked 12-hour shifts, come home, you know, hop in the shower, getting ready to go to bed, lay down, and I have another 12-hour shift looking at me in the next day. And I'll lay there for a second, and I had been thinking about this piece of music all day long while I was at work and couldn't do anything about it. But I'm home now and I can do something about it. And next thing you know, I'm working on, like, going to work the next day to do another 12-hour shift with, like, 2 hours sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
But you know what? It feels good. I mean, I know that may be kind of crazy to say, but it really honestly feels good.
Yeah.
A wise man once said that if you do something that you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Hmm.
And it doesn't feel like work. I've put in 16, 18-hour days in the studio, and it feels like 16 to 18 minutes.
Yeah. And then you dream about it when you're asleep for the 2 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And it's scary, you know? And, you know, they you know, scientists and doctors tell you that we only use, what, 20% of our brain? It makes you wonder what the other 80% is doing. You know, so that's about my other 80% is constantly writing music and thinking about new stuff and all that. And it's amazing. But, Josh, you know what, man? I just want to let you know that I really appreciate, you know, everything that you've done for me. And, you know, I can't thank you enough, brother. I really can't.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
You know what, Josh, I too, you know, I love the fact that you really support the shows that I do, but you support the artists. And the thing that I find interesting, and maybe I can ask you this, you know, your background when you were a performing artist yourself is hip-hop, correct?
Correct, yes. I was an R&B singer.
Oh, an R&B singer. So have you two always had a passion and a love for jazz
along
the way? Okay.
Oh, yes, absolutely. you know, my, to be honest with you, my connection comes from the bass. I hear more bass, like stand-up bass, in my head than any other kind of music. Because I'm more of a mood writer. If I'm in a certain mood, you know, and I have an idea, it'll just flow, and until it's done, flow. You know, I've learned to try to focus, but not control. You know.
Right. I know exactly what you mean.
Interesting.
That's why,
okay.
Just for that reason right there, that's probably why I could never work for a major record label. Because I don't think I could write with somebody standing over my shoulder saying, okay, you got to give me 10 songs and you got to give them to me in 6 months. You know, it's like, I say, okay, wait a minute, now you're turning this thing I love into a job and I don't dig that too well. You know,
yeah.
I really like
that. And that's precisely why we don't work that way.
Exactly.
Exactly, because we're a label of artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody that works with us is just a business guy or just a marketing guy. You know, we all have love for it, and that's why we do it. And so I would rather have a strong team of five than, you know, a team of 20 people that I don't really know.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know. So. Yeah, so yes, I mean, I've always had that, you know, in me, you know.
Okay.
And when it comes, I can't sleep, I can't think, I can't work. It's like it's a demon you have to just battle until it's time and you sit down and you know, purge.
Well, then that got the T-shirt. Oh, man.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Sure. I mean, that makes sense, and I figured when you asked that question, Josh, that it's something that you've experienced yourself many times.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like I said, those are the kinds of things that as a fan that I like to hear. And, you know, for the people that are listening in the archives and, you know, listening now and in the chat room, you know, those are the kinds of things I think are just really interesting and unique to people, you know, and no artist is the same.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure, it makes sense. You know, I need to tell you this, Stephen, because when you're not around and I'm doing a show that Josh happens to come in, he is one of the fans that requests me to play you.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that, man. See,
it's not work when you love it, right? And so when I hear music I don't mind spreading the word around because, you know, it's not about, you know, me and my label, you know, getting all the money and all the fame. You know, it's not about that, man. That's stupid. You know, I don't even believe that, you know, the universe works that way.
it's all about the music.
From a personal standpoint. So I believe that, you know, if you make it and you end up making full time, you know, or you just do music 24 hours a day that you can do, that's a victory for all of us.
I'll tell you.
And I truly believe that.
That's a great point, Josh.
Mm-hmm. I would. I'm telling you, if I could get into a situation like that where, you know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, the finances or anything like that, just concentrate on the music, man, oh, boy, there's no telling. I mean...
Right. All of that music in your head, it would be just popping out left and right, huh?
Oh, man, I'd be tripping over it and stuff, you know, be like, oh, excuse me, that's my bass line. Don't trip over that. I'll pick that up. But, yeah, Josh,
so,
I know what you mean, man.
Yeah, another question for you, Stephen, as a fan, how long does it take for the idea, like when you first get an idea for a song, how long does it take for that to come to fruition? You know, to end product, the CD, or, you know, being ready to, you know, people to hear.
It kind of depends on the piece, because, like I said earlier, sure. I've got complete songs in my head, and I got pieces of songs in my head, so. If I start off with just a piece, then it could take me about, to do one complete song from start to finish, usually takes me about, oh, depending on if life intrudes, you know, about 2 weeks. And that also depends on if I have to get some pieces from, you know, some of my collaborators and stuff too. But like I said, I've never played a horn in my life. I wouldn't even know what end to put my mouth on. But I love horns. So I know some people that do stuff like that for me. Some guitar parts and stuff that I'm not too great on that I've had to do. But, you know, generally about 2 weeks, I have a complete song from start to finish in 4 hours.
Wow.
You know, it kind of depends on, you know, what groove I'm in, when it hits me, you know, and like I said, what else is going on. And because I'm a single dad, I've got two daughters in with me. And one is going to college right now. She's at KU right now. And the second one, the youngest one, is 14. And between them two, boy, they keep me hopping. I mean, it's like, you know, their schedules are worse than mine. So, like I said, I've done a complete song in 4 hours, and the longest has been about 3 weeks. And but what I like to do is once I complete them, I'll let them sit for a few days because
you need fresh ear.
Yeah, you need to let your ears, you know, chill and get those fresh ears listening to it. Then come back about 2 or 3 days later and listen to it. And because you can get ear fatigue listening to the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You think you're doing something good, and then I don't know how many times I've done this. 2 or 3 days later, I go back and listen to it and say, what the heck was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, you know. But then, you know, sometimes it depends on the flow of it. The song Afterglow that you just heard,
uh-huh.
I did that song from start to finish after I got the saxophone part in it. I had to wait on that a couple of days, but the rest of the song was written in about 8 hours from start to finish.
Wow.
Because it just hit me. It was just a good flow with it, and I just went with it and let it. Wow. I let the song take me where it wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, it's like, it's almost like raising a kid. You know, you give your child things that they need, and then you let them develop their own personality and kind of like guide them here and there and that kind of stuff like that. That's the way I write. You know, the song will get to a point where it will start telling me where it wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And once it gets like that, then.
Well, you know, Eva Maria and I will definitely agree that it went the right direction.
Okay.
You know, Stephen, you know, we've got like 9 minutes left in the show. The 2 hours went by so fast. I knew that
it's
was going to go
hours.
By so fast. It's already been 2 hours, my friend.
Wow.
It's just like amazing, and I didn't even touch on some of the things that I was going to that I told you that I wanted touch on with you. So it's like, okay, we might have to have Stephen come back at a later date, or, you know, we definitely, if you can, you know, Stephen, I'd love for you to call in to the Artist Roundtable on Thursday if you're able to from work, because there's some points that, you know, I could bring up that I wanted to bring up, because I wanted to get a little bit of background, you know, on, you know, the business end of being an artist and what you have experienced and what, you know, the things, the pros and cons of what you've gone through, what you've learned and what you can share with, you know, anybody out there to help them not go down a certain path. But you know what? We just don't have enough time for that, darling. So we're just going to have to discuss that at a later date. I do want to play another song. And the reason why I want to play this song is that, you know, you created a controversial chat when I played this song. I believe it was on the All Media Artists features. And you talked about that you.
And
you talked about that you were baking a cake. So I was like, yeah, okay. So I'm going to play "Rub It Like That" by Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Thank you.
Well, I can't think of a better way than to end this show with Rub It Like That by my featured guest tonight, Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Stephen, this was an amazing time with you and with your friends and colleagues out there. I couldn't have asked for a better, show with you.
I had a ball, ladies. Thank you a lot for having me on again. And you know, I appreciate it. Thank you to you and Teresa with All Media Artists. You guys are really doing a lot for all of us out here, trying to get our stuff, just having somebody listen to it. That's really all we ask.
Well, it's like Therese, wanting to create this website, to help give, the artists another outlet and another place to be found on the internet. And she and Wesley and Brian Christopher have done an absolutely amazing job with the All Media Artists. And so I'm very blessed to have connected with her. And from there, I met you. And, I'm grateful for that connection. But the thing is that, we believe in you. Teresa's down in California. I'm up here in Seattle, Washington. And, there are some absolutely amazing artists out there that are just as good, if not better, than the mainstreams. And, what I try to do on Flava News Radio is small, and me in conversations that we've had, Stephen, I want to be able to do so much more, for you and the other artists that I love and believe in. But, at least being able to play your sound, and I play you on a regular basis, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Stephen Jerome Ferguson gets played several times a week on Flava News Radio. So, I believe that you are so very deserving in that, with the listeners that I have from the Pacific Northwest to across the United States and around the world, I want them to hear your sound, and get familiar with you. And, then be able to direct them to where they can purchase, your music. Because I just think that's something that's very important. Like I tell you all the time, Stephen, when I say that I believe in an artist and I love what they're doing, I take on that responsibility of being able to spread the word. And so Flava News Radio is just an outlet for me, to be able to do that. And so, I thank you, my friend, for, allowing me these 2 hours, to be able to just touch on who you are as a man, who you are as an artist, and to share a bit of your sound with the listeners of the Leopard Carpet and Flava News Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on, and thank you for believing in me and that belief that you and Josh and all you guys, all my friends and everything have in me. That's one of the main things that fuels me and keeps me going. It really does. So that right there means a lot.
Well,
I'm trying not to let you guys down. Okay.
You haven't let us down so far, so just keep creating. I am so excited about this new project going on. I know you keep telling me that it's got a little different twist. It's going to kind of knock me off my feet, and I'm ready for it. So, again, Stephen, I hate that we've come to the end of this show, but we have. But it was a pleasure and an honor to have you on, my friend. It was a pleasure to have your fans and friends and colleagues call in and share their thoughts about you and your music. And, man, this was a great time. So I'm going to close out this show tonight, and I'm going to play Somebody's Baby. But thank you so much, Stephen.
All right. Thank you, Lady Flavor. Thank you.
All righty. This was The Leopard Carpet with Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and I'm going to close the show with his piece, Somebody's Baby.
Thank you.
That Was Somebody's Baby by my featured guest on the leopard carpet tonight, Stephen Jerome Ferguson. You can find more information about Stephen over at the allmediaartist.com website, and artist is with an S.com, and you can also find him on Reverb Nation, and Stephen is spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N. So go check him out. He has a CD available, which is called We Are One, and you can find that on the Reverb Nation store page for Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Take care, God bless, and thank you so much for coming out tonight and supporting this show live, and to those that come back and check out the archives.